Welcome to the Backstage with Millionaires podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Pankaj.
And today we are talking about India's e-commerce revolution, this brand new network that everybody's talking about. Some people are calling it the UPI of Indian e-commerce because of how successful UPI was as a piece of infrastructure. We're talking about ONDC. So Pankaj, you actually in the last like hour and a half, 2 hours, had your first experience. No, not your first, your third experience with ONDC. But it's the first time that you've actually placed an order with ONDC. So tell me what happened. What was your experience like?
Yeah. So I think I've tried 3 times now, like in last 1 month since ONDC has started their pilot in Bangalore. So I think that's what we planned before this podcast, that it'll be great to have, you know, something ordered from ONDC and actually having, you know, having that during this podcast. But I mean, thankfully my order got placed. But there is no update on when it's going to be delivered.
Right? What does it say on the screen?
It just says we have received your order. That's it. There's no ETA. There's no time or date when it's going to be delivered.
Is your money gone?
Yeah. I've paid like immediately through UPI. But I would say placing the order was very smooth.
What about finding the product and with the proximity thing, like being nearby to you?
I would say same as any other app right now, like Swiggy, Instamato, Zepto. I just went on the website, put my address, and I think within 2 to 3 clicks, my order was done, right? They sent me a QR code, which I scanned from my Google Pay, and order was placed. But I was actually expecting that it's going to be delivered in 30 minutes or max an hour. But we don't know when it's going to be delivered.
So how long has it been?
So it's been more than 2.5 hours now. And I've just received one feedback from them, or like one update from them, that we have received your order. That's it. There is no update on time or date when it's going to be delivered.
Well, maybe this is because you ordered from like a faraway store, you know?
No.
Or you ordered a very complicated food product that is going to be hard to prepare. Maybe that's why.
I wish that was the case. So the store that I delivered, ordered from, it's 300 meters from here. And what I delivered was 3 Diet Coke. So I could have just run down and, you know, grabbed it in less than a minute. Or if I ordered from Zepto, I would have received it in less than 10 minutes. So I think it's still early for us to sort of comparing ONDC with other like existing platforms like
Zepto
and Swiggy. I would say there are very few delivery partners right now that are working with ONDC. So I think we have to give them a couple of months or 6 months to actually see the results.
What was it like when UPI first came out? Was it like similar? Were there glitches and problems? I don't think I was participating in transactions in India at that time. Like I was here in India when it was launched and when it started to be implemented. But I was still kind of on Paytm, and I was just focusing on Paytm for like a long time. And I didn't really realize that UPI was a thing until it was already widespread. Do you have any early experiences with UPI that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like the official date of UPI is April 2016. But as far as I remember, I didn't use UPI in the first year or so, right? Because I think when you adopt a technology like these, like a UPI or ONDC, it has to come from word of mouth. People around you should be telling you about something like that. That's when you're going to adopt it, right? Because before that, I had Paytm wallet. Sorry, I had different wallets like Paytm or like bank, net banking. So unless someone close to me tells me, you know, how it's so game changing, I won't go on them, right?
Now we look around and we see QR codes. And so we kind of think, okay, UPI, BHIM, or like whatever, even PhonePe, Google Pay, all these options are there. But I think we don't have that yet for ONDC. And so probably the adoption is not as widespread amongst buyers and also amongst sellers.
Exactly. So if you look at, UPI adoption chart, for entire 2016, or I'd say till middle of 2017, it was like just at the bottom, right? It started picking up in the middle of 2017, which was like a year after it was officially launched. So I would like give it some time
Yeah, I think it's important to say that like we're not sharing this anecdote like to trash ONDC or like to dog on it. Like I think this is just our experience, you know, we're just sharing it. And so I can already see people like, this is propaganda and you guys are being paid by the anti-ONDC Chinese, whatever. I don't know. Like, you know, people come up with crazy theories, but this is just us kind of sharing what we've experienced so far. I was excited. Like, that was the thing. That was the whole point, was like, let's order Diet Cokes, have them on the table, be drinking them, and then just be talking and be like, oh, and by the way, like, these Diet Cokes are from ONDC. How cool is that? And unfortunately, it's just not there yet. I think, what stage is it at? I think there's only, it's pretty much an alpha stage, right? Like, that's what they're referring to it. There's like one, I remember looking at the website, it said there's like one provider that's in beta stage, and then I think it was like 18 that are in alpha stage. Let me just pull that up because, yeah. Oh, sorry, 85 cities are in live alpha. One city is in live beta, which I would imagine is Bengaluru. But of course, beta is not full on, right? Like, you know.
Beta is pilot.
Yeah, there's going to be tons of problems. There's going to be tons of inefficiencies, glitches, stuff that they're, you know, actively trying to iron out. And I actually like the fact they published this, I don't know what you would call it, like a report or like an update or an explanation of how they're trying to build trust. This was in September. And it was just this really long, but very like detailed and informative document explaining kind of how they're approaching the trust factor. Because I think that's where adoption could be hindered, right? People are going to be hesitant to try because of this Diet Coke thing, right? We tried to order Diet Coke, it didn't come. And probably now for the next like 3 months, we're just going to be like, you know, if we ever try to use ONDC again, we're going to think back to this experience and be like, you know what? That didn't inspire trust for me. I didn't feel like I trusted ONDC in that moment when the Diet Coke reached like a week after I ordered it. I hope that doesn't happen, but like, we don't know. We have no idea what the ETA is, right? That doesn't make me feel like I want to trust this platform.
Yeah. And I think that trust is going to build when more and more reputed sellers are going to come on platforms, right? So for example, Jio comes on the platform, Tata come on platform, right? So I think that's when users will start to take it seriously, because we know Tata, we know Jio, and when they are promising us that they're going to deliver through ONDC, I think that's when we users are going to be serious about it.
That actually brings to mind an interesting point, which is, and in this sort of report that they had written, they covered this, which is like, how do you build trust with a network, right? Where there is no sort of central authority. So they said like in the brick and mortar model of commerce, trust is built through this in-person interaction. It's like a real-time exchange, right? You give me the product and I give you the cash, and there's no room for like, there's really not even like a need for trust, right? It's just kind of like very like flawless, like instantaneous transaction. Then you go to the e-commerce model, the platform model, as they call it. There's no in-person interaction. There's no real-time exchange, but the platform is the central store of trust. So like like just the other day, I ordered something on Amazon, right? I don't know who the seller is, right? Unless it's an Amazon Basics product, which it wasn't. I'm sort of, you know, I'm putting my trust not in the seller the way that I would during like an in-person offline transaction, but I'm putting my trust in Amazon, knowing that even if things go south, even if I'm not like that product doesn't reach me or reaches me and it's damaged, that Amazon is going to take care of me as a buyer, right? That they're going to reimburse me or they're going to send me a replacement. And so that's where the trust comes in. Whereas with ONDC, that's, I think, what's getting a lot of people hung up. Like, there is no Amazon in that formula. There, you can't go to ONDC and be like, hey, this seller like didn't give me the product. Like, ONDC is going to be like, we're just a network. We're just a piece of infra. Like, this isn't our problem, right? Or at least that's how people are thinking about it. So they wrote this whole report to kind of explain what the safeguards are, how they're trying to ensure that trust is built, and also trying to ensure that like things like that don't happen. And if they do happen, what are the measures that they're going to take to actually smooth things out with the seller and with the buyer?
Exactly. So for example, I ordered through My Store, which is a app for buyers like me. And I've never used My Store before this, right? I've paid 160 rupees and I don't know whether I'm going to receive my order or not, right? And like, let's just think for a moment. I don't receive my order.
You'll have to go somewhere. You'll have to talk to somebody, or, right?
Like, I'm going to talk about that to 10 of my friends, right? And then that trust will be so much harder to build. Unless apps like Jio or Tata come on this, or like Flipkart or Amazon, you know, for that matter, I would say building that trust factor would be hard.
Yeah. They even wrote about this. They're like addressing this specific thing. Customer service and issue resolution. So if the buyer needs assistance on an order they have placed, will they have a point of contact or interface to do so? If there's a problem with any of the products or services, will somebody hear and resolve the buyer's complaint in a timely manner? So this is obviously something that they're thinking about, but I'm not sure, like the execution is unclear at this point. Of course, one, because it's in beta, and two, because I think they're still actively like solving these problems. It's not like they have all the answers right out the gate. And realistically, like it's probably gonna end up being a situation like the legal system of any country, right? Where bad things have to happen first before laws are put in place and where like, you know, safeguards are put in place. And, you know, you have these precedents that need to be set first before change takes place. They're trying to set a foundation at least, but a lot of these like specific, whatever, like tools or features of ONDC will probably be implemented later on. And it's gonna be because people like you don't get their Diet Cokes and then they complain and then change happens.
Yeah. And it'll be very interesting to see how ONDC tackles this challenge, because I think UPI has not been able to solve this till now. If one of my transactions on UPI doesn't go through, I don't know who to complain. Is it the Google Pay app which I'm trying through, or is it my bank, right?
Right.
So
it's definitely an interesting, there's actually a lot of players. This is the thing that like I didn't realize until I had read this report, is like how many parties are involved and what are their roles, right? So there's kind of like three key, I don't know if you're like aware of these three categories. There's buyer apps, right? They are essentially Amazon's and Flipkart's, like whoever decides to go on. Sorry, what was the one that you ordered the Diet Coke?
My store.
My store is a buyer app, right? So they have set up this app so that you can scroll through and sort of see what's available around you. Then we also have seller apps. So I guess that is, it says marketplace seller nodes. There's two kinds, marketplace seller nodes, MSNs. They're aggregators. They allow sellers who are not themselves network participants to transact on the network. So MSNs don't hold any inventory. Again, it's kind of like Amazon
or Flipkart.
But rather they function as pure play marketplaces. And then there's also another type, which is ISNs, inventory seller nodes. So ISNs are themselves sellers who are participants in the network. So maybe the shop nearby decides, I want to be on ONDC and I don't want to go through my store or any other middleman, so they can become an ISN. And then you have gateways. Okay. So gateways are functional, purely functional as nodes for multicasting search queries and collecting results. Thus, they play a critical role in search and discovery. So that was the part that I was the most confused about, like what is a gateway? My understanding is that the gateway is the middle man between seller apps and buyer apps. So a buyer goes on a buyer app, they type Diet Coke, and then that request is sent through the buyer app to the gateway. The gateway looks at the entire network and then finds all of the seller apps that are making that Diet Coke available currently in their location in real time, looking at inventory, looking at pricing, and then displaying, and then sending all that information back to the buyer app. And then all that information is displayed to the buyer, and then they can make the decision that they want based on all that information. So it's like, it's not as easy or simple or straightforward as like a regular e-commerce, right? Where buyer and seller and gateway is all one, you know? I mean, you have sellers, but those are sort of everyone, the middleman is the platform, Amazon or Flipkart, right? And then buyers and sellers are interacting directly with that. Whereas here you have this extra step on either side, which is buyer apps and seller apps.
So I mean, that's why it's called open platform, right? It's not closed loop that Amazon is in the middle and they're like, buyer is here, seller is here, let's connect them, right? So we do need someone taking that place who is sort of gonna, who is making sure that transaction happens smoothly. And that's where I think gateways come. But do you have any example of a gateway? Like
I don't think gateways are going to be something that are customer facing. Like, I don't think we are going to be aware of who the gateways are, but they have, you know, they have gone to ONDC and said, we want to be a gateway. And so I'm not sure what the business model there is. Like, what's the incentive to be a gateway? Presumably they're taking some cut, like a percentage of the transaction, and they're just like a, you know, like a, a facilitator of that. You know, maybe they have a bunch of servers, or they have a bunch of, you know, they have the power to like offer, to like handle that traffic, essentially. So that's what they're offering. But in this case, the other thing that I was like, just again, coming back to the Diet Coke, is like, whose fault is it, right? That we didn't get our Diet Coke. Is it ONDC's fault? Is it the seller, right? Is it the buyer app, the My Store, right? Is it their fault? Or is it logistics? Like, is it a logistical problem where there's no connection between the store and like a delivery personnel, right? That's actually an interesting side too, is like buyers and sellers can fulfill orders. So like they can choose who wants to do it, the buyer app or the seller app. So it could be My Store, or did you go through My Store to order this Diet Coke?
Yes.
Okay, so you went to mystore.com.
I found the link of My Store on ONDC's official website. That My Store is one of the platforms where you can order right now in Bangalore.
Right.
And on My Store app, there are many stores or restaurants near me.
Right.
So I just clicked, through the search section, I clicked on Diet Coke, and the closest to me was this restaurant that I ordered from.
Let's not say the name.
Yeah.
but it's interesting that restaurant or that shop, like, they probably didn't go through My Store, or they might not have gone through My Store. Like, it's not necessary for them to go through My Store. They could have listed on any other seller app, which we're not privy to that. We can't see where they were listed, but as soon as they've listed, they're in the entire ONDC network, right? So you can find them through My Store, you can find them through Paytm Mall, you can find them through like any seller that's offering that, those categories. Right.
Yeah.
Like cold beverages, right? If that category is there on that buyer app, then you can find it on through any seller that's offering it through any seller app. It's kind of like, it stretches my mind just to try to like wrap my head around how ONDC works, because it's so different from like what we're used to with Amazon or Flipkart or like traditional e-commerce.
Right. And it's not as simple as we thought like earlier, that you just list on ONDC and ONDC is going to take care of it. Like, who is ONDC? There's so many parts of ONDC, right? For example, you said there are one gateways, there are seller side apps, there are buyer side apps. So like, even by now, I don't understand, if you are a restaurant or if you are a supermarket, does every buyer side app come to you? Can we list you on our app?
Yes. Right? Yes.
So
it's like every buyer app and every seller app have equal opportunity to connect with each other. It just, because the gateway makes that happen. The gateway is
right.
The one who sort of connects everybody, right? But then it's about pricing. It's about reviews. That's another huge part, is like the trustworthiness of an individual seller is documented. In the report, it's actually written that they call it the scoring and badging system. So it's going to be a network-wide system, and it's also going to be portable. So that means that if a seller wants to migrate from their current seller app, let's say the nearby store wants to go from My Store to like say some other seller app, and that seller app is, for example, offering better terms, and so that's why they want to migrate, then they can do that without losing any of the goodwill that they got on that other seller app. So basically their scoring and badging, whatever rating they have, let's say they're like a 5-star seller. Normally, if they move from Amazon to Flipkart, that 5-star doesn't carry over. But with ONDC, that 5-star is like attached to your seller identity, which is a good thing for good sellers. It's also a bad thing for bad sellers. And if customers decide to exploit that, that could also be bad for the seller, right? Because maybe they don't deserve all of those negative reviews that they're getting. Maybe there was a misunderstanding. Maybe something happened. Who knows? Maybe it was the logistics, right? The logistics made a mistake. But the seller is the one who ends up getting blamed for it because people don't understand how ONDC works. So they start getting a bunch of negative reviews. Those reviews, or that rating, whatever their rating is, that is, first of all, ONDC-wide, but also tied to their identity as a business or as an individual, right? Because it's tied to their PAN, it's tied to their GST, it's tied to their, like all of their IDs, basically, it's connected to those. So you can't really shake that rating. That's been my understanding, at least based on this report, which is a little bit scary if you imagine yourself as a seller.
So necessarily what you're saying is, one store can be just on one buyer's app at a time? Is that what you're saying?
No. Seller app. One store or one seller, an individual seller, can be spread out across multiple seller apps, or they can even be themselves a seller on ONDC, a network participant. They can be a network participant, or they don't need to be. There's two different options, right? But basically, yes.
Right. So
they can be across multiple seller apps.
So let's say a buyer app like Paytm Mall, they won't be dealing with individual stores. They'll be dealing with seller apps, right?
Say it again.
So the buyer's app like Paytm Mall, which are customer facing, they'll be dealing with seller apps, right? They won't be dealing with individual stores.
They'll be sourcing the inventory that they're listing via gateways. That's my understanding. So seller apps are the ones who are interacting with the sellers. So they're kind of selling stuff, right? And the ones who are buying stuff, it's not the buyers. It's actually the buyer. I mean, they're not actually paying for it, but they're the ones who are listing it for a customer-facing side, right?
Right.
So the buyers see it on the buyer app. So Paytm Mall would be considered a buyer app, but they're also interfacing. They're interacting with a gateway who's putting them in touch with a bunch of seller apps who we don't get to see, but the sellers get to see them, right? And yeah. and vice versa. The sellers won't necessarily be interacting with Paytm Mall or My Store, for example. They're just listing their products on seller apps. And then the gateway is the one who does the work to kind of connect the buyer apps and the seller apps.
You know, the more I'm learning about this and the more I'm getting confused, there are actually different pillars of a transaction, right? A transaction is not like you place an order on Amazon and it gets delivered to you. There's so many stakeholders, right? And now that we're talking about it, when I place an order, let's say from a store in Chennai, right? So a buyer app is going to receive that order. He is going to connect me. Then there's a logistic service that comes into play.
Maybe fulfilled by the buyer, or maybe they're going through a third party, which is also via ONDC.
Yeah. And then there's a payment gateway, right?
No, it's not a payment gateway. It's just a gateway. That's what they call it.
No, I'm saying generally in a transaction right now, there's so many players.
Yeah.
And someone like Amazon or Flipkart is making sure that that happens in tandem, right? So that'll be the biggest challenge in front of ONDC, right? And same way the challenge that we face today, our order did not get delivered. So how they're going to take care of millions or billions of orders in the future, I think that'll be, if they do it, then it'll be the biggest revolution in India. And if they don't, we won't be hearing about it.
It does definitely seem to be much more complicated than UPI.
Yes.
I think, you know, UPI is a good start for this kind of digital infrastructure, but I think ONDC is orders of magnitude more ambitious and also more complex.
So the reason it was so simpler in case of UPI, there were less stakeholders, right? There was you as a consumer, there's your bank, and there's a business. But to facilitate an e-commerce transaction, there are like multiple, there are like 4-5 stakeholders. There's a delivery partner, there's a payment partner, there's a logistic partner, there's a maybe a packaging partner, right? So I think that makes ONDC multiple fold more complicated than UPI.
Yeah. I keep referring to this document. I know it, you know, but we'll be showing it to the viewers, but you can't see it right now. But basically there is a diagram which kind of explains the relationship that all these parties have. So there's essentially six parties to each and every transaction that happens on ONDC. Six, like, sort of moving pieces to this machine, right? Of course, there's the network. Then there's buyer apps, seller apps, gateways, buyers, and sellers. So it's like, I look at it horizontally, right? On the left side, you have like the individual seller. He's going through the seller app is going through the gateway, then to the buyer app, then to the buyer. And all of that is happening on the, you know, playing field of like ONDC. But I think that in and of itself is not, like, that happens anyways, right? That happens in offline as well, right? Where you have the manufacturer, and then it goes to the distributor, and then it goes to the merchant, and then it goes to the end customers. Like, there's always going to be sort of these stages to any kind of, whether it's offline, whether it's e-commerce platforms, or whether it's ONDC. But it's the frameworks in place. It's the structure of this network, which I think is where it becomes like super, that's where the innovation is, right? That they're actually creating There's terms and conditions between sellers and seller apps. There's terms and conditions between buyers and buyer apps. There's terms of sales and invoices between sellers and buyers. There's even like a lot of acronyms that I'm not fully familiar with, SLAs, so service level agreements. There's also NPAs, network participant agreements that you have to, when you participate in ONDC, you have to presumably agree to these network participant agreements. You've also got ONPs, ONDC network policies, transaction level contracts. So like there's a lot of contracts, there's a lot of policies, agreements, and all of these things are what allow ONDC to function.
And like, since there are so many moving pieces, that's why in the beginning of this podcast, I said we have to give it a year or maybe more, right? Just thinking that, you know, it started in September and why am I not able to place an order? I think that'll be, it's too early right now. And it's not even in other cities in India till now, right? It's just in Bangalore. It's going to start in Delhi in November, then it's going to start in Mumbai. And I think once, until there are like 20 to 30 cities under it, we can't expect a intercity transaction or intercity order to take get fulfilled, right? So I think what we are thinking that if I'm placing an order and it has to deliver, it should come to me in 3 days, I think that'll happen 1 year down the line. And we have to basically wait.
Yeah, that was the thought that sort of sparked this whole, the reason why I thought it was a great idea to talk about this topic today is because in my mind, and I think in your mind too, and a lot of people's mind, it's like, is this, like, where is it? Why is it so slow? We heard about ONDC. We were so excited about it. Where's the revolution? Like, why does Amazon and Flipkart, why aren't they up in flames right now? Like, why has this not happened? And the reason is that it's slow. Like, it's not going to happen overnight, right? It's not a startup, right? It's a massive piece of infrastructure. It's a network. And so you just don't have that sort of agility that you might see from a startup who, you know, a startup might have been in stealth mode for years and years, and then finally they launch, right? And then they start getting complaints and they start making changes. Like, maybe that's going to happen with ONDC as well. Like, I know they are actively taking feedback and they're actively trying to make changes. And this document itself is them trying to have a dialogue with the public, right? Trying to make sure that the public understands that we are listening, we are paying attention, and this isn't going to be like this forever, right? It's not always going to be in beta. Eventually, it's going to be like a full-blown piece of infra. Yeah, there's still a lot of questions. I actually asked the audience via a community post, what are your thoughts on ONDC so far? I just wanted to see what people are thinking. So we got 9 comments. Maybe some of these will spark discussion. I don't know. You can pull it up on your screen too if you want. One guy says that it won't be successful, in my opinion, because retail managed by government is very difficult to build. And then someone else replies, it's going to be managed by Zoho. And then someone else, the same person says, also one of the earliest retails were built by government only, ration shops. I don't know about these ration shops. Do you know about that?
These are small Kirana stores.
Oh, the original Kirana shops.
Yeah.
During when India was more socialist.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone else says, only time will tell. Nothing can be predicted. Can't say, not available in my city. But it will be good if they maintain the network or traffic good. Like if order from one website but connected to some other server and can't order or anything like that. Someone says they're bullish on ONDC. It'll help to counter monopoly and duopoly of e-commerce giants, which if implemented successfully, I think is definitely going to be the case.
So I think more I think about it, this entire e-commerce picture in India right now, which is dominated by, let's say, Flipkart and Amazon, I think with ONDC in next 5 years, this picture is going to change entirely. I think we're going to see Paytm, we're going to see Reliance, we're going to see Tata leading this e-commerce chart in India. And like the reason is simple, right? Paytm has a distribution center way bigger than Amazon or Flipkart. Paytm scan, that Paytm box that we see, that is millions, like I don't have the numbers, but I'm pretty sure it's in tens of millions, right? These shopkeepers use that. And same with Reliance. Reliance Mart is in every, like...
Geomart?
Reliance Mart.
Oh, it's Reliance Mart.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think JioMart is the digital version of it, but Reliance Mart is in, they're working since like decades, right?
Right.
So Reliance Mart and
Reliance Fresh.
Reliance Fresh. So I would say these Indian players, these Indian biggies, I would like to say, they're going to be leading e-commerce. And you know, that brings me to question whether these Indian, whether it's the brainchild of these Indian businesses, the entire ONDC.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
Because,
or like a hot, that's really interesting. Wow. Have you been thinking about this, or did this?
No, it just came to my mind right now. Because
how to take control back.
Yeah, because they would have thought during COVID, let's say, that currently entire trade in India is managed by Amazon and Flipkart, and Flipkart is owned by Walmart. So two American companies are trading, are controlling entire trade of India, or like most of it. So maybe in a room, Mukesh Ambani and Ratan Tata and, you know, Vijay Shekhar Sharma would have gathered and maybe, but like, we're just assuming too much.
Obviously, total speculation.
Yeah.
But it is definitely an interesting thought. And I think that's great. I mean, let this whole market be controlled by Indians. Like, you shouldn't have these foreign companies that are sort of imposing every whim and will that they have on the Indian market. They're not thinking about India. They're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about their own profits, right?
So yeah.
It makes sense. But if we just look at it from the Indian context only, do you want, like, the thing that they've been selling with ONDC, I feel, the whole messaging is that this is going to democratize e-commerce for small sellers, and they'll be able to connect with the buyers who are locally there, who, you know, because it'll be like maybe 5-10 minute delivery. Well, maybe not 5 minute, but like, you know, 15 minute delivery to 30 minute delivery. And now that I'm thinking more about this, if you have access to all of the available, like the same item, but, you know, from every single seller app, right? The gateway is putting you in touch with all of the different seller apps, all of the different listings, which are identical, except for in the way that the product is itemized or like shown to you, right? The photograph and the price and the discounts that are made available through the seller app at their own cost, right? If that's all that you're seeing, who's going to win, right? If you have 10 different options and one of them is 10 rupees and one of them is 20 rupees, right? And the one that's 10 rupees, who do you think that is going to be offering that? It's going to be a big company, right? It's going to be a company that can afford to lose 10 rupees just to get that sort of that brand loyalty from you, right? That's going to be the Reliances, right? That's going to be the Tatas. That's going to be like whatever, these massive giants. So it almost restores the pre-existing monopolies that were there before.
It's just that there'll be Indian monopolies now.
Yeah, which I certainly prefer that to like Walmart and Amazon having a monopoly, but doesn't seem like it's going to be the monopoly killer that they're making it out to be. You know, it's not going to be this democratization. No.
Whenever there's a free market, monopolies will happen. Let's take example in US, right? In early 20th century, you had monopolies of Rockefeller or JP Morgan's. When government went after them, the new monopolies got created, the Fords or the General Motors, right? Towards the end of 20th century, you had Apple, you had Microsoft, you had Amazon. So I think same is going to happen with ONDC, right? If you break monopolies of Amazon and Flipkart, new monopolies are going to happen. But maybe now we'll see Indian monopolies, we'll see Reliances, we'll see Paytm, we'll see Tata. So if you have to ask me, I think that's better than, you know, being controlled by American-owned monopolies.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be a great direction for things to move in. I would like to see new companies monopolize, right? I think it's like Reliance and Tata. Like, that was before the Amazon and Flipkart takeover. And if we just like revert back to that, I feel like it's almost a step back. Not that they're not like good companies or anything. I'm not saying anything about what they are and aren't. But I just feel like every step there should be new players who are coming in and offering new ideas and new, because they're old companies, right? Like, they're now multi-generational companies. I just think it would be, I think that's the role of startups, right? Like, I would hope that there would be startups who would take advantage of this opportunity, seeing that maybe the days of Flipkart and Amazon are not necessarily coming to an end, but just that their role in this ecosystem is going to change, which of course opens up new opportunities, right? If they can capitalize on those opportunities, and if there's like the policies are in place to encourage them to do that and take advantage of that opportunity, and it's not just like big business is controlling the policy and forcing those startups to sort of submit, you know, and stay in a position of being lesser. Maybe that's where the relationship between government and big business comes in. But I would definitely like to see change happen. Like while you were talking, I was thinking about Tesla and how if Tesla had been allowed to come into India, certainly if at an affordable price point or like a reasonable, like comparable to what they're offering in the United States, like if it was the same price, then I think that Ola Electric probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to go ahead and talk about making an electric car, right? And maybe even Tata Nexon wouldn't have seen the same response from the public that it has, right? So by not allowing Tesla to come into India without, you know, manufacturing locally, which is not something that they're ready to do, I think the government of India made a space for all of these local players to succeed. So maybe that's what's happening with ONDC.
Yeah. And I can see companies like Dukan, companies like Zoho actually becoming big from this, right? Because they'll be ultimately helping these small businesses come online, make their websites or set up their digital inventory. So I would say, like, I'm betting on companies like Dukan, companies like Meesho, and companies like Zoho to emerge winners, right?
Not saying that they're all going to be on ONDC though, right? Just hoping that they would.
So Zoho is already on ONDC. Yeah. Dukan is planning to get on ONDC.
They've made a statement about that?
Yes. Oh, Sumit has made a statement.
Nice.
Yeah, I think, and that's where there's a lot of opportunity in smaller towns, right? For these new companies, for these new Dukans, let's say, right? So if I'm in a small town.
We're already moving. Dukan is already like too mature and too evolved to like serve those smaller. I guess they kind of have moved past that, haven't they? That was their original focus was Kiranas, and now they're sort of looking more at like D2C kind of.
Yeah. So my point was, let's say I'm in a small town and I know there are 100 small businesses in my town or around my town, but they don't know how to go digital or how to list on ONDC. I can start a company. I can start a website helping them, right? So that's where I see a lot of these small companies taking advantage of ONDC, basically this open network.
Because they don't have to do everything. They don't have to connect with buyers and also set up logistics and do all these things because ONDC is already there. They just have to be the one who onboards the existing offline sellers onto, that's actually like, now I'm realizing like the massive opportunity. ONDC opens the door for all of those people to get online in ways that they wouldn't have with existing players.
Exactly. It's ultimately opening up trade. And trade is any transaction that you and me do, right? I sell you anything, you give me something else, right? So those are trade happening right there. So imagine billions of trade happening every day. So there has to be tens of millions of companies which will be facilitating or helping in those trades happening smoothly, right?
The seller apps.
Yes.
Basically. Now that we know the components of this network, who are the sort of, you know, parties involved, it's actually easier to understand how it actually functions, right?
Yeah.
Like a Dukan would be a seller app and they would be connecting through a gateway to say a Paytm mall or a My Store, like a buyer app. So yeah, that was kind of the objective of this podcast was, because we did make a video about it and you can actually go check that video out. We'll put a link to it. I think it's going to be up here, maybe up. I don't know which side it's going to be on. But definitely go check that out if you want to know more about ONDC. But at that point, I think the actual consistency of the network, what were the parties involved? I don't think that had been fleshed out in the same way that it has been now by ONDC. So now we have this extra information. We wanted to present it to you guys and also have this discussion about sort of what that could actually look like. What are the implications? So we really hope that you guys enjoyed this episode of the Backstage with Millionaires podcast. If you did, leave a comment down below and just let us know what your favorite part of the conversation was. And if you have any feedback for us as well, we'd love to hear it. We're always trying to improve this new format. We're just exploring for the first time kind of how does this kind of conversation between myself and Pankaj, and probably also, by the way, we'll be bringing on guests at a later point to jump into these conversations and share their points of view. So I've seen feedback from people saying you need to bring on guests. We definitely plan on doing that. It's just a matter of getting another microphone. So we actually have another mic that's coming to us. But yeah, anything from your side?
No, I mean, I think this podcast will sort of gives us an opportunity to go in detail in some of these things that we make video about. For example, to explain ONDC in detail, it would take us an hour. And it did take us an hour, right? But in the video that we made two months back, we could only make a 10-minute video. So I think going ahead, if you guys like us, you know, breaking these important topics in detail, I think you should leave comment and we will read them.
Yeah, we read every comment, and we, for better or for worse, we kind of care about what you guys think. I think I just got a comment from someone being like, you shouldn't read all the comments, you shouldn't care what people think. But like, that's an indicator for us of like how people are enjoying or not enjoying, right? Positive and negative feedback is important for us. So yeah, again, encouraging you guys to leave a comment, and I guess we'll see you in the next one. All right. There we go. Good luck, Jay, with all of the different camera angles and
oh man.